Will the chaplain please come forward?
Let us pray, please. O Holy Creator, we give you thanks for this gathering of this city to discuss those things that are pertinent to its people. We pray that as we gather as a community, that your spirit will be here and your spirit will guide our thoughts, our mouths, our ears, and our decisions so that we can honor you and glorify you in all that we say and do. Be with these people today and those who aren't here. Be with our firefighters and our law enforcement officers as they protect our city and our homes. We ask all these things in your powerful name. Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Mr. Gwynn.
Here.
Mr. McLeod.
Here.
Ms. Heimbuckle.
Here.
Mr. Owen.
Here.
Ms. Rich.
Here. Okay, first on the agenda we have awards and presentations. Proclamation, Human Trafficking Awareness Month. Donna Gwynn.
Down the elevator, so they gotta come up and made all the effort to get here.
Yeah, we're welcome to today.
Absolutely. Balance it out. There you go. Well, this proclamation is on human trafficking, and it reads as follows. Whereas human trafficking exists today as a form of modern-day slavery, both globally and in the United States, and is a crime against humanity that violates the most basic human rights and deprives victims of their freedom. And whereas human trafficking occurs when a person is recruited, harbored, obtained, or exported, it says exported, that probably means exploited, through force, fraud, coercion, for the purposes of sexual exploitation, forced labor, involuntary servitude, debt bondage, and other methods of slavery. And whereas more people now are harmed by human trafficking worldwide than have been at any other point in human history, affecting as many as 27 million people, including an estimated 2 million children who are trafficked for child labor and sexual exploitation. And whereas both the U.S. citizens and foreign nationals are victims of human trafficking and suffer emotional, psychological, and physical horrors at the hands of their captors, which instills fear that keeps them enslaved and runs counter to the core values of this country was founded upon, and human traffickers use coercion, violence to maintain control of the victims and their families. And whereas human traffickers view Florida as one of the most attractive destinations and transit points for their victims, and Florida has the third highest call volume to the National Human Trafficking Resource Center. Whereas the people of Florida are committed to protecting the vulnerable and ending human trafficking through continuing investigation, prosecution, and education. And the Marion County Human Trafficking Task Force was established in 2010 and exemplifies and echoes the commitment to end modern day slavery in Marion County. Now, therefore, I, Kent Gwynn, by the virtue of the authority vested in me as mayor of the city of Ocala, do hereby proclaim January 13 as Human Trafficking Awareness Month in Ocala, and encourage all Floridians to join together in an effort to put an end to the assault on the inalienable rights of victims who are trafficked in our state, restoring their dignity and freedom. The witness whereof, I hereunto set my hand and cause the seal of the city of Ocala be affixed this 18th day of December 2012, Kent Gwynn, Mayor, City of Ocala. So I want to present this to you, Donna, and I know that you probably want to say a few words.
Thank you. I do. When our task force started in 2010, it was with the support of our agency, our staff, and the community members. Don Westgate is the director of Kimberly Center, and I'd like if everyone could introduce themselves, because this is a task force of our community members, and that's what it's representative of. And we would like you all to know that if you are interested in becoming a member or learning more, we have a meeting February 21st, and you can contact us, and we'll be glad to give you more information.
Don Westgate with Kimberly Center for Child Protection.
Beth Morey with the Guardian Ad Litem Program.
Margie Bethay with the Oak Hill Police Department.
Joella Foytis with Department of Children and Families.
Sergeant Jerry Bevan with the Marion County Sheriff's Office.
C.J. Whiteside with Marion County Sheriff's Office.
Frank Scallow with Marion County Sheriff's Office.
Olin Myers, Marion County Sheriff's Office.
Mark Peavy, Marion County Sheriff's Office.
Mike Fongaluzzo, Marion County Sheriff's Office.
Lieutenant Mike Balkin with the Oak Hill Police Department.
All right, thank you so much, and
thanks
for everything y'all do here.
Well, I think I see a lot of students in the audience. Would you please stand and give us your name and school and who your teacher is? We'll start on the left with you three. Well, thank you all for coming, and I hope you get something out of this meeting so you can give a good report to your teacher. Thank you. Public hearings. Is there anyone in the audience that wants to talk about something that's not on the agenda? Nope. Next is public hearings. Introduce audit. Oops, I can't do that until 5, sorry. So we'll go down to general business. Approve authorizing a memorandum of understanding between the Ocala Symphony Orchestra and the City of Ocala, which provides general terms for future negotiations of a long-term lease for renovation and operation of the City Auditorium to be used as a performing arts venue. Catherine?
Thank you. Catherine Cameron, Assistant City Manager, Public Services. The purpose of this memorandum of understanding is to establish an alliance between the City of Ocala and the Ocala Symphony Orchestra to further the goal of repurposing the City Auditorium into a performing arts venue, which will bring a variety of cultural arts and other programming to the Ocala Central Business District. The memorandum before you provides general terms for future negotiations of a long-term lease for the renovation and operation of the City Auditorium as a performing arts venue. Staff recommends approval. I believe there was some representatives supposed to be here from the Ocala Symphony Orchestra. I'm not sure that they have arrived yet.
Is there someone here from the Central Florida Orchestra? I guess not.
I think Barbara Fitos will come forward and speak for them.
Okay.
Good afternoon. I'm Barbara Fitos. My address is 926 Southeast 12th Street, Ocala, Florida. I am the executive director for the Community Foundation. Community Foundation is a partner with the Ocala Symphony Orchestra in the development of the city auditorium through the Tuscaloosa Heritage Board as a performing arts center. Both Samid Afganjani and Matthew Wardell, the maestro for the symphony, along with the Tuscaloosa Heritage Board, has been working diligently in conjunction with the city staff in formulating the memorandum of understanding. It has been approved by the Tuscaloosa Heritage Board and the Ocala Symphony Orchestra Board, and we look forward to your favorable consideration this afternoon. Thank you very much.
Barbara,
yes, ma'am.
If they do get to do that, they are going to allow other people to use it.
Yes,
the
ma'am. The plan is to make it a pure performing arts center. The symphony will use it, obviously, as their venue, but will also open it up to many other performing arts venues in the community, both internal to the community and external to the community. Many of the venues, many of the choral groups, for example, many of the other performance groups are very desperate for performance space, and this will serve as that venue. The symphony intends to be the general manager of that facility and open it up for other performing arts venues in our community and make it basically a hub at Tuscaloosa Park for that purpose.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much.
We all have anything to say?
You need a motion?
Yeah.
Move approved.
Second.
Okay, it has been approved and second. Does anyone in the audience have anything? Call the roll.
Mr. McLeod?
Aye.
Ms. Heimbuckle?
Aye.
Mr. Musley?
Aye.
Mr. Rowland?
Aye.
Ms. Rich?
So it passes.
Thank you very, very much.
A 5-0 vote.
That was a yes.
Thank you.
I heard it.
The consent agenda. Does anyone want anything pulled off of the consent agenda?
Not I.
No.
No.
No, ma'am.
Can I get a motion?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and properly second. Does anyone in the audience care to comment on this item? Call the roll.
Mr. Musley?
Aye.
Ms. Heimbuckle?
Aye.
Mr. McLeod?
Aye.
Mr. Rowland?
Aye.
Ms. Rich?
Aye. Next is introduction and first reading of ordinances. Introduction of resolutions. 9A is introduce ordinance 2013-11, an amendment to the future land use designation from high and medium density residential county to low intensity, approximately 0.7272 acres of property located on the north side of Highway 40, about halfway between Northwest 55th Avenue and Northwest 60th Avenue. OPZ gave it, doesn't say what it did, but it's case LUC 12008. Oh, they approved it with a 7-0 vote.
I'll introduce it.
An ordinance amending the future land use map series of the City of Ocala, Florida Comprehensive Plan as required in Section 163.3161 through and including Section 163.3248 Florida Statutes detailing the land use change, case number LUC 12-0008, involved in to amend the future land use map series from medium density residential and high density residential county to low intensity for property located on the north side of West Highway 40, about halfway between Northwest 55th Avenue and Northwest 60th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, providing for severability, providing for the repeal of conflicting ordinances, and providing for an effective date.
Thank you. B is introduce ordinance 2013-12, a rezoning from R2, one and two family dwelling, and R3, multiple family dwelling, county, to B1, neighborhood business, for approximately 0.72 acres of property located on the north side of Highway 40, about halfway between Northwest 55th Avenue and Northwest 60th Avenue. Case number ZON 12-0008. 0010 OPZ on December 10th, approved 7-0.
I'll introduce.
An ordinance amending the zoning map of the City of Ocala, Florida, changing from R2 one and two family dwelling and R3 multifamily dwelling county to B1 neighborhood businesses for certain property located on the north side of West Highway 40, about halfway between Northwest 55th Avenue and Northwest 60th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Case number ZON12-0010, providing for severability, providing for repeal of pending ordinances, and providing for an effective date.
Okay, C is introduce ordinance 2013-13, an ordinance of the 2012-3 amendment series, amending the future land use, transportation, recreation, open space, and cultural arts capital improvement elements, future land use map series, and transportation map series, and deleting the community redevelopment area, historic preservation, and pursuant to chapter 163.3184, 3 in parentheses, C in parentheses, and 1 in parentheses, and 11 in parentheses, Florida statutes case CPTA 12-0001. City Council, August 12, 2012, approved 5-0 to transmit for state review. Mark?
Introduction.
I'll introduce.
An ordinance amending the comprehensive plan of the City of Ocala, Florida, as required by sections 163.3161 through and including sections 163.3248 Florida statutes concerning land use, transportation, recreation, capital improvements, community redevelopment area, CRA, historic preservation, and public schools, amending future land use, transportation, recreation, and open space, and capital improvement elements by adding, revising, and deleting goals/objectives/policies. Revising the five-year schedule of capital improvements and adding cultural arts to the title of recreation and open space element. Amend the future land use map series by revising the future land use map 2035, revising map numbers and deleting the CRA future land use map. Amending the transportation map series by revising map numbers and deleting proposed number of lanes and transportation concurrency exception area, TCEA. Maps deleting in its entirety the CRA, historic preservation, and public schools facilities elements, providing for severability, providing for the repeal of conflicting ordinances, and providing an effective date.
Mr. Chair, I have a question on this item. I know that we have gone down this road quite a bit, and we have the approval and all of that. If we wanted to make alterations to the land use map, have we passed that? Have we passed the time that we could have done that?
I'll invite Mr. Chigazola to respond.
No, at the public hearing on the 22nd, you are able to amend the map. So okay. You can amend any of the elements or the map. You can approve with changes, which you're allowed to do at the public hearing.
Okay. Thank you.
D is introduce ordinance 2013-14, amending language in section 272 of the Code of Ordinances concerning the Ocala City Council District Map 2012.
I'll introduce.
An ordinance amending Chapter 2, Administration, amending Section 2-72, Council District Map, providing a new map entitled Ocala City Council District Map 2012, providing for severability, providing for the repeal of conflicting ordinances, and providing for an effective date.
C, E is introduce ordinance 2013-15, amending the lot width requirements for certain properties zoned R1, R1A and R1AA. Case number COD12-0018. OPZ gave it unanimous approval.
I'll introduce.
An ordinance of the City of Ocala, Florida concerning zoning, amending section 122-286, providing for lot requirements by referencing criteria regarding lot width requirements for certain properties zoned R1, R1A, and R1AA, single-family residential, amending subsection 122-3141 by revising the lot width requirements for certain properties zoned R1, R1A, and R1AA, providing for severability, providing for the repealing of conflicting ordinances, and providing for an effective date.
F, introduce ordinance 2013-16, adding a definition for wayfinding signage and providing for an exemption of permit, area, and location requirements. Case number COD-12-0013. OPZ on 11-5-12, approved with a 5-0 vote.
I'll introduce.
An ordinance of the City of Ocala, Florida concerning signs, amending section 110-3 by adding a definition for wayfinding signage, amending section 110-6 by adding wayfinding signage as an exemption to permit, area, and location requirements, providing for severability, providing for the repeal of conflicting ordinances, and providing for an effective date.
G, introduce ordinance 2013-17, adding non-conforming criteria for mobile home parks not zoned MH, case number COD-12-0017, OPZ on 12-10-12, gave it unanimous approval.
I'll introduce.
An ordinance of the City of Ocala, Florida concerning zoning, amending section 122-182 by providing for criteria regarding non-conforming mobile home parks, not zoned mobile homes, MH, providing for severability, providing for the repeal of conflicting ordinances, and providing for an effective date.
H, introduce budget resolution 2013-113, amending the FY 2013 budget to reappropriate funds from FY 2012 to FY 2013 to cover grants and agreements that extend beyond September 30th, 2012.
I'll introduce.
Nothing to read.
Okay. Next is the utility report.
Good evening. First on the report is a quick update to council on the Crystal River 3 nuclear facility. There aren't a lot of changes there. However, Progress has committed to making the decision, or accelerated their commitment to make the decision now in the second quarter of this year. That's when they expect to get the final report from their consulting engineers, and they continue their negotiations with their insurer. We're told that it's a positive sign that neither of those parties has moved for binding arbitration at this point. So the talks remain cordial, although they don't appear to be close on the numbers yet. FMPA continues its negotiations on our behalf as one of the minority owners of the facility in terms of replacement power. And hopefully we'll have more to give council once those negotiations move further. In either case, we're moving over at the electric department to prepare for either scenario, whether they retire or repair, to determine impact to the utility and how we'll address it. And we will provide those updates as we get more numbers from them and confirm up on our projections. A note to council, two of our team were invited down to the Keys Cooperative to offer a safety talk. This is the, the utility that stepped in for Keys Energy when they had their unfortunate situation back in the summer. They were impressed at one of the presentations that Mel, our safety coordinator, had done, and asked him to come down and offer them the same safety talk. So we continue to offer the outreach to our other utilities and bring them the same message that we're following ourselves in terms of safety of their staff. We also had a visit from the City of Pasadena utility. Apparently they were very impressed by the way we're handling our IVR and the outage management system. And Millsoft, our vendor, had told them that we were one of the best they had seen in terms of setup. So they came all the way over here to spend a day with us and look over our system, and they seemed to have left very impressed. It was a very pleasant visit. They invited us back, but I don't think that's in my budget this year. And that's really all I have for council at the moment, unless there are any questions.
Madam President, just a quick question. On the rates that we're paying now, due to the nuclear reactor being, you know, offline, is it still the same, that discount, the same as it was?
Yes, we're still receiving replacement power through the end of this year.
Okay. Through the end of 2013?
I believe actually it's 2014, wasn't it?
Okay, good, because I know that was a...
2013 it's still?
Yeah.
It is 2013. They've made an offer to extend a little further, but we're going to push a little harder than that.
Okay, that's good, because that was something that was kind of up in the air, I think, at one point in time.
It is, but they understand that...
Continue that.
Yeah, they understand that we're not going to be able to continue the situation without them extending that agreement. So both parties have that as part of their discussion.
Good.
I might elaborate on that discussion. The Crystal River 3 nuclear plant accounts for about 7% of our power. To put that perspective for you, so if Progress Energy or Duke Energy decides to take that offline, it will, of course, take away about 7%. Having said that, we still do have adequate resources in our back pocket to make up that loss without having to build any new generation.
Okay. Thank you.
The next is the internal auditor's report. And she left us a copy of what she's done, and she's not here. But that was a young lady that was sitting in her place. Yeah. Do you all have any questions? Ask her one.
You want me to ask her a question?
Yeah. Ask her a question.
Hey, girl, don't let me make up something. You just want to hear her talk?
How about, how do you feel for standing in for Jeannie?
What's it like going to have a fireball in the office with you?
Next is the city manager's report.
Thank you, Council President. I have four items, two that are listed, and two more I'm going to add. The first is the blueprint to fiscal sustainability. If council members will recall, last year about this time, staff advanced seven initiatives to achieve a balanced general fund budget. One of those seven initiatives was entitled Blueprint to Fiscal Sustainability. That initiative entailed trying to bring together committees made up of city employees or subject matter experts that would be dedicated to looking at various areas in which we hope to improve or try to bring about some cost savings. Tonight, I'm recommending that we create a fifth committee under the Blueprint to Fiscal Sustainability Initiative called Insurance Review Committee. I am hoping that I can get a council representative to serve on that committee, and I'd like to recommend that Councilman John McLeod serve on it. He's expressed some interest, and he works in that field as a broker, of course, with health insurance. Also serving on that committee right now would be Jared Sorensen, Lynn Vaselli, Catherine Cameron, Sandra Wilson, and myself. With a potential to add one or two additional people. So at this time, I'm seeking City Council approval to appoint a council member to serve on that committee.
So moved.
Second.
Especially if we got a volunteer.
Yep. Sure.
We have a live one.
Absolutely. Nominations are now closed.
On the one sad name.
The purpose, quite frankly, of this committee is twofold. One, we're going to analyze the impacts of the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. This is better known as Obamacare, to find out what kind of impacts it may have on our health insurance. Probably more importantly, it's going to take a clear look at our health insurance programs to see if there's a way in which we can achieve cost savings without reducing the overall benefits. Okay? The second item I have, let me hand this out. You go ahead and take one and pass it out. What I'm handing out is the agenda to City Council strategic planning session that will be held tomorrow, January 9th, and Thursday, January 10th at Gateway Bank. Because of the young students we have in the audience, I'm going to take some time and go over this so they have a better chance of understanding what the council is going to do over the next 2 days. Each year, for the benefit of our audience, the City Council will dedicate one or two days to conducting an annual strategic retreat.
The purpose of the retreat is to allow council members to look at the organization from a very high altitude, to look at its strengths, its opportunities, its weaknesses, as well as its, I'm missing one there. Threats, thank you, it's threats. And so it's a chance, again, from a very high altitude to look at the various challenges that we face, as well as the various opportunities that we face, and to deliberate possible alternatives and outcomes. Tomorrow's retreat will begin at 8:30 at Gateway Bank. We're going to have, excuse me, lose my voice, we're going to have Council Pro Tem John McCloud open the meeting. Council President's going to be a little bit late. Followed by our facilitator, Dave Harwood, who will talk about, in general, the strategic planning session, provide an overview, and try to identify your desired outcomes for the 2 days of retreat. After that, Dave Harwood and I are going to review the city's vision, mission statement, and core values with you to see if there are changes that council members want to make to those. Once that's completed, my cabinet will give the state of the administration report. That report will consist of a strategic plan report out, looking at the accomplishments over the past year by each of the four goals that make up that strategic plan. Once that's completed, our chief financial officer will give a report out on the seven initiatives that we created last year to achieve a balanced budget in the general fund. Once John's completed, Mark Mondale will talk about the SWOT analysis, the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threat analysis that cabinet and frontline supervisors completed. It'll take about 5 or 10 minutes. And finally, to complete the state of the administration report, I will take about 20 to 30 minutes and give a presentation that looks at the city budget and forthcoming opportunities and challenges. When that's completed, we'll take a break. We'll come back, and David Harwood, with the assistance of City Council and the mayor, will start talking about the strategic planning process by goal. We'll begin, obviously, with goal number one. We'll have a lunch break. We'll come back, review the discussions with goal number two and goal number three. At the end of the day, we'll provide some time for City Council's open discussion to talk about any issues or concerns council may have. We'll adjourn probably around 3-ish, 4 o'clock-ish. On day two, again, we'll begin at 8:30 at the Gateway Bank in the same room. Dave Harwood will begin by reviewing the first day's outcomes. He'll then continue the strategic planning process with goal number three to continue and going on to goal number four. And then, of course, talking about future strategic planning follow-up meetings between council and staff throughout the year. So this is just a one-time report out. We'll have a break. After the break, we'll have a discussion by Matt Brower and Mark Mondale talking about the Inland Port, CRAs, stormwater fees and fire fees. At that time, our city attorney, Pat Gilling, will join us to engage us in that discussion. We'll talk about Vision 2035, next steps. And then finally, we'll end the day again by providing council some time for open discussion to address any issues or concerns that council members may have. What I'm looking for at this time are any embellishments that council members may have for the agenda. If there are none, we're set, and we'll look forward to seeing you at 8:30 in the morning.
Anybody want to change anything or add anything?
Okay, I'll deem that as a confirmation of the agenda, and we look forward to two very proactive days beginning tomorrow morning. Two other items I have. On January 15th, the City Council has a work meeting to discuss the audit committee report out. I'm requesting that City Council consider adding a discussion item to that work meeting dealing with the local option fuel tax. You might recall that the county has a special meeting planned, or I should say a work meeting planned for January 17th, where they'll engage us and the other four municipalities in the county to talk about the reallocation of the 6-cent fuel tax. I thought it might be valuable to you to spend some time kind of reviewing the white sheet and the various ideas that we have for that joint work meeting on the 17th. So with your consideration and pleasure, we'll go ahead and plan on having that as part of that work meeting discussion.
Is there not a set price that the state, that's a state law that they must give the city so much?
Yes, there is. There is a default allocation that is found in state statute. But that allocation is not friendly to us. It would reduce our allocation significantly from what it currently is.
Yeah, the documentation of the different options that we're looking at and the different dollar amounts, can we have that prior to the workshop a day or two?
Absolutely.
Okay.
In fact, I hope to get that to you, if not the end of this week, first of next week.
Okay.
We're just finalizing it, finishing the talking points for you.
Thank you.
You bet. And finally, our Chief Financial Officer, John Leahy, has contacted Jim Lynn and Jim Rizzo about our next council meeting for continuing discussions on the general pension reform. They have the date of February 5th currently set aside for that meeting. The questions I have is, one, is February 5th a good date for continuing this discussion? That is a regular meeting date, so you'll have a regular meeting at 4 o'clock. If it is a good day for that discussion, would you want it as a lunch hour discussion, or would you want it perhaps right before the regular meeting that begins at 4 o'clock, kind of a back-to-back situation?
When did you say, January?
February 5th, which is Tuesday. That is also the first meeting of the month.
Madam President, I would prefer it right before the, so we don't have to go and come,
okay,
and we can make it at one time. That's just my personal preference.
Okay.
Well, if he wants it, then I want it.
He probably wants the opposite.
I wanted a bone. Let's do it twice.
Yeah. Still want lunch.
What I'm hearing is Council Druthers is perhaps set it at 2:30 or 3 o'clock?
Yeah.
Okay. And the last question I have regarding that issue is, do you want that as a work meeting or a special meeting in the event Council is ready to make a decision regarding the General Employees Pension Fund?
Well, I mean, if you have it as a work meeting, you can still make a decision on the General Employees Pension Plan at the regular meeting right after. Correct?
You can also do that, listed as an agenda item.
Yes. Question. How many more workshops do we need?
Wait, this is the last
this
one.
This is the last one.
I just. Is there anybody who needs a little more homework, or are we wondering what we're going to do or how we're going to go about it? I mean, I mean, this is a big ticket item, obviously, and I would hate to think how much staff time has been logged over the last year and a half, 2 years with this. I mean, I think we've, it seems to me, I just in the workshops that it seems that we know what we've got to do, and I think we need to set a date and do it.
In my mind, I'm ready to nail something down.
So, I mean, from this standpoint, as far as from staff's perspective, and then for the employees and anybody else in the community wants to come be a part of that discussion, I mean, if we have a workshop, that's fine, but I would more like to see us set a date that it's going to be in this 4 o'clock meeting on an agenda item.
Okay.
Called roll. That's just, that's me.
I agree.
Because we have a workshop, and we're going to, let's talk about it one more time. Let's talk about it one more time, and let's keep talking about it. I think we got to get some restitution to it and get a plan of action and go forward. So I didn't know if anybody was still feeling like there was homework that needed to be done. Or so I don't know if we, the February 5th,
so
is that when our next meeting, February 5th is our February?
Yes,
first
that's the first
meeting
in February. That's correct.
I don't have rest feels, but I mean, I think we need to get some movement on it.
We need to make a decision on February 5th.
I'm ready.
So
what I'm hearing is to go ahead and list that as a special meeting
so
council
can
take action if they choose.
Sounds
okay.
Good.
Just put it on.
Okay.
Okay. What I'm also going to do, go ahead.
I was just going to say from an employee standpoint and anybody else from a community standpoint, we have February 5th as our council meeting.
Yes.
Right? If we did our 4 o'clock meeting and did our normal business and then just kind of pushed it maybe to the 5:30 or 6 o'clock hour in case, you know, we may have some employees at the end of the workday that may want to be here or be a part of that, and just kind of, you know, that be the tail end or the city manager's report or however we do that towards the end of that
that's
meeting
also an alternative.
And give a, you know, maybe just sit like we do on these ordinance, you know, at 6 o'clock we're going to begin the pension discussions and go from there.
Why don't we just start the regular meeting an hour earlier then, too, so we don't stay here till 10:30 or 11 o'clock at night? Because I have a feeling that this may wind up taking a full hour, hour and a half. If we were planning on it starting at 2:30 and going until 4, I have a feeling you're probably going to have a lot of other stuff for us on that day. I'd just soon start early, say 3 o'clock. Do like you say. Say, okay, at 5:30, we're going to talk about pensions.
You would have loved the days, Mayor Whitney, when we started meetings at 7.
Remember those days?
7 o'clock at night.
I wouldn't be here until 1:30.
You and the mayor keep telling me about how it was.
Good old days, man.
Like the olden days.
Like the olden days.
It's 11 o'clock. Call the roll, man. Let's go.
The council knowing you do bring a good point. Just like we have this agenda item here for, you know, 5 o'clock, you just make it that time, give employees a chance to
get
the rest of the meeting at 3 hours.
If we start at 3, then a couple hours for our council meeting, and then just, I don't know, 5:15 or something.
Probably 5:15, 5:30.
Pick up.
Be perfect.
Pick up the
employees to be a part of it.
Okay. Or no sooner, but like we do this, no sooner before 5:30, and then or try to as close as to 5:30, start the pension discussion, and then go from there.
Okay.
And then set the regular meeting for 3. Would be seem like a good plan.
Sounds good.
So
and
just
then,
to,
I guess, and then
yeah,
Rizzo and all those guys, they'd be obviously available at those times, or do we know?
They said 2:30.
We'll make them available. We'll make sure they're available. So just to verify.
Have you paid them the full bill yet? We always hold the check. Tell them that you can sign the check around 7.
Tell them they're
going to pick it up. They're concerned, of course, it's going to be driving back to Tallahassee and Fort Lauderdale, respectively. We'll work with them to make accommodations for them. So just to verify, what I'm hearing is go ahead and begin the regular meeting of February 5th at 3 o'clock and place on that agenda the item for taking action on the general employees pension plan. Okay, consider it done.
At around 5:30,
yep.
Give or take.
All right, Council President, that's all I have.
Okay. Mayor's Police Department report.
Thank you, Madam President. And also on February the 5th, we're going to have a symposium, if you will, for lack of a better word, General Pam Bondi, the Attorney General, is going to come down on February 5th at 11 o'clock at our police community room, where we're going to have the Sheriff's Office, Police Department, and our City Attorney, Pat Gilligan, to pontificate on the synthetic drug ordinance that he's so famous for. But we're going to have...
Only if it works.
Only if it works. Only if it works. But we had worked during the election and a variety of other times to try to get her down. She's finally agreed to come down on February 5th at 11. So obviously y'all are invited to come. There should be a large crowd there. CASA, are you still involved with CASA?
Such as it is.
Yeah, such as it is. So I'm sure they'll be there. We need to get an invitation out to them. And I'm sure there'll be other people in the community. We'll make it known. And we're just going to talk about what we're doing in regards to synthetic drugs, what her office, AG's office, is doing to combat them, and what the sheriff's office is doing together, and where we're headed on that. So it should be an interesting discussion. So you're welcome to come. That's it.
City Attorney's report.
Thank you, Madam President. Attorney Nicole Ruacco is requesting a meeting with City Council pursuant to our statute 286.011 at 3 o'clock p.m. on Tuesday, January 22nd, 2013, to discuss with you the case of workers' compensation case of Thomas McDonald versus the City of Ocala, compensation claims case 12-000502MRH. Court reporter will be there, including along with Mr. Brower, Ms. Rococo, Ms. Heimbachel, Ms. Rich, Mr. McLeod, and Mr. Musley, and Mr. Owen. Is that okay?
I couldn't hear what you were saying.
Yes. Ma'am?
I didn't hear what you were saying.
Kind of, I'm mumbling and I didn't have the speaker, but it's one of those special meetings where you discuss the pending cases, whether you want to settle it or not.
And there's two of them on here.
Right, I'm just doing the first one at a time.
Okay.
There's certain, the statute requires me to say certain things.
Okay.
That's why I mumbled them.
You mumbled it so we wouldn't know what you were talking about.
Taught me that the first year in law school.
Does anybody give an image?
Wow.
Sure. Yeah, we hadn't signed his check yet, have we?
Can we recall the...
If you mumble it, people think you're smart for some reason. I'm too embarrassed to ask questions. I'll try to...
Well, Ms. Rich asked the question.
Well, she caught me. Is that one okay? For 3 o'clock, January 22nd? Rushing?
Sure.
Sure.
Then the next one is for Tuesday, January 22nd, 2013 at 3:30. It's being requested by Ms. Marion. It's in the case of John Ashley versus the City of Ocala compensation case. Actually, it's two numbers, 09-014370MRH and 11-015956MRH. In attendance would be Ms. Marion, Mr. Brower, Ms. Heimbachel, Ms. Rich, Mr. McLeod, Mr. Musley, and Mr. Owen. And Ms. Marion would like to set that for January 22nd, 2013 at 3:30. Okay, we'll get noticed. Is that better?
That's better.
That's great.
That was better.
That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay, calendaring items. Number one, a city council strategic planning session. 9th, 10th of 2013, beginning at 8:30 a.m. at Mr. Musley's bank.
Wow, thank you.
Just got a bank.
Make sure we get that right in the newspaper tomorrow. I may not have a job there after that, but that's okay.
Audit committee meeting Tuesday, January 15th, 2013. At 11 a.m., presentation by Purvis Gray and Company, recap of internal audits, accomplishments, and FY 2013 audit work plan.
Council President, that's also the meeting we're going to add to it, the discussion on the 6 cent local option fuel tax.
On the what?
On the 6 cent local option fuel tax, yeah. Okay. Or actually all the fuel taxes, quite frankly.
Okay. Number three is joint city and county workshop. Thursday, January 17th, 2013 at 2 p.m. And we'll discuss renewal of the first local option gas tank and the interlocal distribution agreement of the gas tax revenue at the Marion County Extension Services Auditorium.
Question. Matt, is that their normal auditorium? Where is that located?
I thought they're near the livestock pavilion.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
I think it is.
I didn't think it was their normal.
No, it is not. It is out on.
It's right by the livestock pavilion.
I believe so. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So make a mental note of that. It is not at the general place where we've had them in the past, which is over by the old library.
Mm-hmm.
It is actually this new location.
Okay.
Great point.
What color is the building?
I believe it's the tan building.
We will get you some directions.
It's
past the livestock.
Just past it on the left, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will place in each of your boxes a map so you have certainty of where it's at.
Ms. Rich, Mr. Brower, I believe they changed that time to 1:30. Is that correct?
I think you're right.
That is correct.
You're right.
That's on the
2 to 1:30.
It's on the calendar.
Is it on this one?
On the reminders.
You.
Oh, mine.
Yes.
Comments by mayor.
I don't
talk a long time.
We got 10 minutes. Talk amongst yourselves.
Into the microphone. Comments by council members.
Yeah, I'd just like to welcome everybody to my bank tomorrow. Used to be known as Gateway Bank, henceforth to be known as the Bank of Musley. Yeah. Please let me know that was in jest, okay?
So we can name drop tomorrow when we get to the front door. And
you got to give the secret handshake when you come in, but our staff is looking forward to you. I will forewarn you, we've got about 18 or 19 bank examiners crawling all over the place. If they ask a question, just plead the fifth. Point to me. So I think you'll enjoy it. Angel was over there today looking at the AV setup. I think it's going to be a good venue for us. I think the weather's going to be nice, so lunch will be out on the veranda tomorrow.
Nice. Good.
Okay. That's all I have.
They asked me, I'll say, ask Mr. Musley, it's his bank.
They'll say, who's Mr. Musley?
Don't ask me any questions, because I don't know.
Briefly, Mr. Musley, is President Ingram going to call you the Honorable?
President Musley, Ingram is not going to be there tomorrow, but maybe President Branson could be impressed upon him there.
Well, he should. I'll make sure that I do that for you. Okay. Briefly, I'd like to point out I had some help recently from Mr. Novak concerning a couple of matters, and just want to put a little shout out that how well things were taken care of in a very timely manner, and how much I appreciate him and his staff for taking care of that.
If you pay your bill, you don't have to worry about that reconnect fee.
I was only a couple days late.
If you pay your bill, they leave them off longer. Mine stayed off 4 hours that Sunday.
That wasn't my tree, I swear.
Mr. Owen.
Yeah, a couple things. I appeared before the delegation at 1 o'clock this afternoon. There was really good turnout. I want to thank Shrita, Mark, I don't know if she's still here or not, she put together all of our talking points and agenda that we have gone over probably for the last year and got all that. But there was a really good turnout, and was able to, have a little bit of time with the good folks from Tallahassee. I will tell you, as we discussed the stormwater fees and utilities and things of that nature, that our friends from across the street did not have any representation there, which once again is just amazing to me. But anyways, the message was carried, and appreciate the opportunity, but was well received. Steve Shiver was there, sat with him, so he was staying throughout the afternoon. I know, Matt, you've got some, I think, meetings you're going up next couple weeks. I think yes. You've got some meetings with the delegation, too, yes. To kind of just keep carrying on the message. So appreciate that opportunity. And as we've found out in the last week, we know Mr. Leggy is going to be leaving us, and I just wanted to personally thank you. I think you came at a very critical time, John, and I can't thank you enough personally the job that you did. And I think you served the city well, and we're going to miss you, and I wish you the best. Well, I've always got something. But. Well, now that you've asked.
No.
Say something.
A question was just asked me about tomorrow's dress. It is casual, and so.
Thank God.
Feel free to come and lose the ties and come in and relax, and of course have a very productive meeting.
I'll have a pair of scissors there, Daniel, that we can cut off the mayor's tie if he shows up in one.
Well, since y'all sent me over to the delegation, I snuck through the mayor's closet this morning and got a suit and a tie, and I was in and out, and before he knew it, I'll get this back mayor suit after the meeting.
The mayor doesn't wear jeans, so don't look yes, for I him do. In jeans.
You actually have a picture of me downstairs with jeans on.
You sure it was you?
Pretty positive, yeah.
With jeans on?
With jeans on. Oh. Multiple pairs of jeans.
How many pairs you got?
Four.
Okay.
Can Speaking, I'm sitting here stewing about the school board now. Can you give us an update? I mean, I know, was it 2 weeks, I'm thinking our last meeting, we sent the request out. We sent the, just memorize, yeah, I'm. Kathy was up here and I was jumping her and told her, you know, not that I didn't trust her, but is the, can you give us a report?
Happy to, yes. Let me come at this a couple different ways. Regarding your request, it's my understanding that the Marion County School Board is going to discuss our request for a work meeting at their 17th of January meeting, the morning before, of course, we have our meeting with the county. So they're going to discuss our request at that time. We'll know more at shortly after that meeting's conclusion. I have personally met with three of the five school board members, Bobby James, Nancy,
Stacy,
and I'm drawing a complete blank now. The other new school board member, Carol Ely. And I'm delighted to tell you that all three feel we should be having a conversation, a constructive conversation. And all three have appreciated hearing our side of the story, how we went from a mediation talking about singly fire fees to, of course, expanding this issue to include the non-payment for stormwater fees. And they appreciated having that context. And so I guess my report includes the fact that I think we've got enough people on the board to solicit, I think, a venue for having a work meeting with them to perhaps carry on the work that we're hoping to complete.
Well, I was saying, is there any status on the
briefs,
Daytona Beach?
Briefs on both sides have been filed, so the court could rule any day or any week or any month. Probably this year, but they're on no time schedule that we have any control over.
Madam President, and I will share with you that I, myself and the chief and the sheriff, you know, met with superintendent the other day, had a very nice conversation about security in the school system. And Mr. Tomlin seems like he's, you know, very willing to work with us and on a variety of different subjects. So I think with your discussion, superintendent, you know, willingness to engage us, I think, you know, you should probably see something, you know, positive happen, you know, on a lot of fronts. And also, we have a few minutes here. Your brother-in-law, the Honorable Judge Rogers, asked me if we were keeping you in the line. And I said, that's like a whole, you know, department, you know, council and everything. I said, that ain't happening.
Exactly.
He told me he didn't hear his regards.
Do I need to go to the podium so y'all can pile on?
His mother asked me the same thing at Publix the other day, and I told her that was her job.
Oh, my gosh. Gosh. I'm getting to see a pattern here.
You need to get your family straightened out there.
Hey, there's some things that West Virginia just won't allow.
You come to the podium and give us your name and address.
Hi, my name is Shreyas Amal Jafwani, and I live at 21 Southeast 103rd Street, Ocala. On the radio a few days ago, on the way to school, actually the first day of school this year, you guys were just discussing about school security, right? So on the radio, I heard something about a half-cent tax for over the next year or 2 years to fund the security in schools. And apparently it was a plan that Alachua County came up with and that Marion County was going along with building new fences and putting more police around and on schools. Is that accurate or?
Madam President, that's a discussion that the school board was having, and they're still having that discussion, and that would be something that they would approach the county commission about to allow them to, if I'm right, yeah, to put that tax on a referendum. But that's still in discussion, but that's a school board item.
Thank you.
You might share that idea with your school board members.
Well, it's 5:00. We will go to public hearings. Introduce ordinance 20-13-9 and open a public hearing. Okay, we're opening this public hearing. Adding a definition for a neighborhood wellness center and allowing the use as a special exception in the R3 zoning district, subject to criteria. Case COD 120016, OPZ on 12-10-12, gave it unanimous approval. Somebody wanna?
An ordinance of the City of Ocala, Florida concerning zoning, amending 122-3 by adding a definition for neighborhood wellness center, amending 122-287, providing for a table of permitted uses excluded in the CRA by adding a line number 174B, neighborhood wellness center, as a special exception with criteria in the R3 multifamily zoning district, amending 122-287, providing for a table permitted uses excluding the CRA by adding SE24 to the ledger referencing criteria in section 122-1222 for a neighborhood wellness center, amending subsection 122-35311 by adding a neighborhood wellness center as a special exception in the R3 zoning district subject to criteria, adding section 122-1222, providing for criteria for a neighborhood wellness center in the R3 zoning district, providing for severability, providing for the repeal of conflicting ordinances, and providing an effective date.
Anybody on council have any comments? Is there somebody in the audience that wants to speak on this issue?
I'll move to approve.
It's just an introduction.
Well, why do we have as our alternatives approve of changes?
Why do we have what?
Yeah, you've got second and final reading and introduce here.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay, next is introduce ordinance 2013-10 and open a public hearing. It's open. Amending the zoning code for consistency with the 2035 a comprehensive plan. Case COD 12-0015, OPC on 12-10-12, gave it unanimous approval.
I'll introduce.
An ordinance of the City of Ocala, Florida concerning zoning, amending section 122-2, providing for definitions by deleting the definition of activity center community, activity center employment, service road associated with arterial roads, amending section 122-2, providing for definitions by revising the definition of infield development specific, amending section 122-3, providing for definitions by revising the definition of CRA existing industrial uses, amending subsection 122-244B, district criteria by deleting and replacing the chart which identifies the existing zoning districts that are consistent with the new future land use classification. Adding subsection 122-244C, providing for district criteria by providing provisions dealing with previously existing future land use classifications. Amending section 122-287, providing for table of permitted uses excluding CRA by eliminating permitted uses and uses allowed by special exceptions only in agricultural land use classification. Amending section 122-287, providing a table of permitted uses excluding CRA by eliminating in the legend reference to permitted uses and uses allowed by special exception only in agricultural land use classification. Amending subsection 122-357B1, providing for attached single-family dwelling unit criteria in the R3 zoning district by eliminating the requirement for a permitted use allowed only in the low, medium, or high-density residential classifications. Amending section 122-391, providing for a tenant purpose in the residential zero-lot line RZL zoning district by eliminating the requirement for permitted use allowed only in the low, medium, or high-density residential classification. amending section 122-394, providing for location requirements in the RZL zoning district by eliminating the requirement for a permitted use allowed only in the low, medium, or high-density residential classification. Amending subsections 122-462 to 3 and 6, providing for permitted uses in the agriculture A1 zoning district by eliminating the requirement for permitted uses allowed only in the agricultural land use classification. Amending subsection 122-463, 3 and 5, providing for special exceptions in the A1 zoning district by eliminating the requirement for special exceptions allowed only in the agricultural land use classification. Amending subsection 122-854B, providing for urban infill PUD requirements by revising references to the Urban Infill Redevelopment Area, UIRA, based on the 2035 Future Land Use Element and Map Series, and eliminating references to the Transportation Concurrency Exception Area, TCA, based on the 2035 Transportation Element and Map Series. Amending section 122-855, providing for land use blended overlay, LUBO, PUD requirements by revising the language to eliminate the requirement that a LUBO must be designated on the future land use map. Amending subsection 122-906B, providing for location requirements for shopping centers and single retail developments by eliminating references to the employment and community activity centers based on the 2035 future land use element and map series, providing for severability, providing for the appeal of conflicting ordinances, and providing an effective date.
Is there anybody in the audience that cares to comment on this? Why did we have to do it at 5?
State statute. Statutory requirement.
Oh, okay. Well, if nobody has a comment, and council doesn't have anything to say, we can be adjourned.
Yeah, that buzz is our people, not the kids.
Yeah.